Welcome to the world of podcasting.
Oh, boy.
I am shocked you guys agreed to do this. Honestly.
Yeah, yeah. One of them did.
No problem.
Really? One of them did.
Well, you know, that's all we needed was one domino to fall. Yep. And then we got the other one. So, because you're not going to let him just do it on his own, right?
Right.
And I talk bad about him.
Oh, this true way story. I can. True story.
So this may be the wildest podcast I've done. This is Must Know People, by the way. I'm John Ryan, along with my wife, Dina, joining the podcast today.
Hello.
Two guests that probably know way more freaking people than any of the other podcast guests I've ever had.
I think so.
At least in this area. They know the good. They know the bad.
The ugly.
Yes, sometimes that. So it is Russ and Bruce Bass, the owners of Reds in Breda. I mean, who doesn't have a Reds story?
Oh, I do.
Oh, we got plenty of them. So yeah. We'll probably tell them a little bit later on. But
I think so.
Guys, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Yep, no problem.
Where do you even... I usually start like at the very beginning. You guys grew up in Breda, correct?
Yep. Right.
All right. So talk about growing up. Bruce, I mean, Red and Maggie, we know your parents as 80-year-olds. So 90. Talk about...
I was going to say they're 90. 90.
They're 90 now. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. When we first met them, they were like 80. Say,
yeah. When we first met them, they were in their 80s.
Yeah.
So talk about growing up in Breda and what was it like?
Well, like out on the farm, you mean?
Yeah.
Like, okay. So we grew up on a farm. Mm-hmm. So
what years are we talking about? What decades?
Oh, like from 70s, 80s. Well, ever since we were little kids, we that's where we grew up.
Have they lived the same place the whole time?
Right. Well, okay. More or less, yeah.
So you guys pretty much grew up together. I mean, how many years apart are you guys?
Seven.
7 years apart. Okay. Mm-hmm. So a little age difference going on there. Yep.
And you have how many siblings?
There's four of us. Dan, me, Russ, and Linda.
So you got...
Linda's in between us.
I'm the youngest.
Yeah. The baby of the family. Yes. The troublemaker of the family, I should say.
Oh, no. The best for last.
So talk about, I mean, growing up for you. I mean, what was it like growing up in Breda? I mean, was there something about that made you want to stay in that area?
We were stuck there. I mean, mom and dad were there, so we had work on the farm. And
I totally get that.
We were stuck there.
What kind of work did you guys do on the farm?
Oh, we had lots of cattle, lots of hogs. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. We farmed quite a bit.
So you were up early in the morning?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why you still get up at 6 o'clock every morning, because dad's yelling, get out of bed.
I feel like that's a common theme around here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody had their chores to do, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably still do.
Yeah. Yeah, we still do, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what is about Breda that made you guys want to stay around that area?
I don't know. It just happened, I guess.
Really? It wasn't a plan or anything like that?
No, it wasn't no plan.
Yeah.
Bruce?
None.
No, not really. Well, I just always helped dad farm all the time. So, I mean, I wasn't obviously going anywhere. So
So you didn't want to go off to college or things like that. You just wanted to stay and farm?
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have kids and they definitely know whether or not they want to be here or not. They're... Yeah, we're not meant for this small town, or totally meant for this small town. So
it's funny because they say they don't want to be here, but then later on they're like, well, I kind of want to be around the area or something.
Yeah, had no idea what I was going to do until I went to college.
And so you went to school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this kind of gets us into the whole part where you come back, you buy the bar.
Well, I came home on the weekend, yeah.
Yeah, so where did you go to school?
Fremont, Nebraska, Midland, Lutheran College.
Yeah, what were you doing there? What were you studying?
Just the general.
Yeah?
I didn't really have a major.
Yeah? What were you doing
this time? Hadn't figured it out.
Mm-mm.
At that time?
Yeah.
Well, I was farming until we bought the bar. Well, still helped dad, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're
a full-time farmer.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Would you have stayed with that life and been just fine with it?
Yep.
Yeah? Yep. What was it about farming that you loved?
I don't know, everything. I mean, that's what I grew up with. So, I mean, doing the cattle and the hogs and farming, all that stuff, that's just what I did.
Okay. And so Russ, you went off to school, and what made you decide you needed a change?
Well, I didn't.
Opportunity.
I just came home for the weekend, and they called mom and dad, just said, come and look at this bar.
And who said, who's they?
The state of the bar.
Oh, okay.
It was like Reds. cousins or whatever, because he never had any kids. So it was like his.
So explain who Red is, because I always thought that Red was your dad.
So did everybody.
And they still do, well, don't they?
He is our dad.
Yeah. Coincidence only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the people that owned it before.
Yeah. He was Red Brinker.
Okay.
They called him, well, Albin Brinker. His nickname was Red. So he bought the place.
I heard he literally lived in the bar.
He did. Yep. Yep. Down the basement. And then once he got older, he moved upstairs in our back room.
Built that back room.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And everybody remembers that back room because it was like part of the bar there.
Everybody remembers the back room.
Wow. That sounds sinister.
I'm pleading the fifth.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no more about the back room because everybody will know.
So how long did he have the bar?
He bought the place. Well, it was the Brinker Cafe, his dad's, before that. And then he got it in 1955.
55, yeah.
And so he had it till 87. So 32 years he had it.
Man, so it was even Red's before that, but it was a cafe.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So his dad, it was Brinker's Cafe.
Yep.
And then when Red took over after his mom died or something like that.
Yeah.
Then he took over and then he called it just Red's place, whatever. Mm-hmm.
I say we have a little drinking game and every time we say Red's.
Oh boy.
You want to be slurring at the end of the night?
We have a drink.
Oh boy.
This could be fun, guys.
Yeah. I'm down. Let's do that. So, so it was a Red Brinker owns the bar. He owns it for 30 some odd years. Mm-hmm. He had to be pretty old. And you said he bought it from the estate, right?
Right.
He passed away.
Right. Yes. It was about in February when he died. And he was 77 when he died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what was your guys' affiliation with the bar? Were you familiar with it? Did you go in there a lot? I mean, was that anything?
I mean, I went in there, but he wasn't old enough to go in there.
No,
but
I was never in there.
Yeah.
Oh. Never knew Red at all. I think I seen him once before.
So his, I don't know, what was Ivor Fee? They were like, it was like a cousin to him or whatever to Red, you know, some relation to Red. I can't exactly remember what it was, but they were friends of dad, you know, mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And they came out one day and was like, you guys need to buy the bar after Red died. You know, it's like, you need to buy the bar. I'm like,
why?
Why us?
Yeah.
They wanted your mom and dad to buy it or you guys to buy it?
They wanted us to buy it.
They wanted mom and dad to buy it first.
Oh, yeah, they wanted mom
and dad. That's why mom and dad was going in to check it out.
Well, they call your dad.
I came home on the weekend, so we just tagged along.
Wow. And at this point, you're what?
I'm 19.
19 and
26.
So were you both in on this, like going, let's do this?
Well, not at first. We're looking at the place and it's like, mom and dad are like, we're too old to own a bar. So I'm just looking around and it's like, I don't know what I'm doing in college. You know, I'm just taking basics or whatever. So I said, maybe we should do it.
Bruce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just let me, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You guys both.
Yeah. I was like, all right, whatever.
Let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
Was it kind of a landmark in Breed at that point? Or was it just another place?
So the thing about Red's was if it was a Saturday night and it was busy and, you know, in town, like they used to have a lot of weddings in town, he'd close up like 7 o'clock because he didn't want to deal with the people.
No.
There was like 5 bars in town back in the day.
What? That. In Breda?
In Breda, yeah.
So you literally are jumping in the middle of probably the worst business to be in. You got 5 other bars competing with you.
There wasn't 5 at the time.
No, they closed down.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I thought you meant there was 5 at the time.
No.
Wow, bad business move.
Yeah. We have to work our butts off.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
So you guys decide to go into a business which you literally have no idea about.
Yep. I had never bartended. Never,
I was going to say.
Ever.
Yeah. Ever made a drink? Because
like
you weren't of age.
Well, only my own. Well, actually, when I was 19, I was old enough to drink.
Yeah.
Because the drinking age was 19.
Yeah.
Same I just
with me.
Made it just by weeks.
Yeah.
They changed it. And once you're old enough, they can't take it away from you.
So, what's the thinking at this point? You're thinking you got a gold mine on your hands?
No. Never even thought. I just thought, well.
So, all this stuff about business plans and accounting, and also you're just like, well, let's just buy it.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what kind of sounds like.
Mm-hmm. I said, I'll finish out the rest of the year in college and come home on the weekends and work. That's what we did. Yeah.
All right. So, your first day at the bar. How'd that go?
Scared.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I have no idea how to make a drink.
Oh, yeah.
No idea.
You got people coming in and you're going, okay.
How to do it.
Yeah.
What to charge, you know, just went off his old prices.
Is it?
Someone say you still don't. About what to charge. That's an inside joke right there.
Yep.
So what about you, Bruce? I mean, you're like, no bartending experience. We were farming.
Well, I have bartended like at the Legion, you know, for like weddings and stuff.
But you had a little sample.
Yeah, a little sample of it. But I never give that a thought about full-time jobby, you know, that way. But.
So along the way, I mean, you started this and then you're like, okay, I'm going to have to figure out how to, you know, I got to buy supplies. How do we do the books?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, as a business person, I can't even imagine how.
Weren't you just terrified a little bit?
No, I wasn't. I went back to college and told all my buddies, hey, I just bought a bar. They're like, yeah, right.
And I love it.
They didn't believe me. So I start taking a few of home every weekend with me, you know, and they're like, you did buy a bar.
That's awesome.
Yeah. How was it received in Breida? Did you make any changes to the bar? Because it didn't sound like it was a real reliable place.
Yeah, we made a lot of changes, actually. Yeah.
Stayed open.
Yeah.
We were there.
Stayed open past 7. Yeah.
Just 90% of it showing up, right?
And just being there.
So how soon before you guys realize that this is going to be something that's lasting?
It did.
I don't know if it did.
Just a few years ago?
We just went day by day.
Yeah. Just a few years ago?
Just a couple years ago.
Well, yeah.
Like, shit, we're still here.
Your 35th anniversary, you figured out it's going to work out?
Yeah.
So you said day by day. Mm-hmm. Explain that.
Or weekend by weekend, you know, just... did every day, but you know,
I suppose
I never thought about the future. Never.
You know, when you're young,
I mean, starting a business, what about the books and things like that? Did you guys know you were making money at all?
Well, we had some people that we knew that was like, can you help us with the books here? You know, cause we don't know nothing, you know, I mean, really. So they helped us out with that. And that was awesome.
That had to be hard to be up in the morning doing cattle chores, and then you're late at night at the bar. How many decades did you go without sleep?
All of them.
That's why it works good for two of us, you know.
How bad?
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a break, you know. One would open, one would close.
Yeah.
One would open.
And we did that a lot. Yeah. You know, when he got done with school, I would open, or he would open, I would close, or I would open, he would close. Mm-hmm. We just flipped it around to work. Seemed to work pretty good.
Well, you guys still do that.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah.
How many years did it take for you guys to feel really comfortable? Like this 10? Is, this is 10 years.
I mean, I think before it really felt comfy.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't that long.
Have you always had been lucky to have people? I know you've had a lot of good help that you've hired.
Yeah.
And they've been.
Well, it's friends, you know, the people in Breida alone. I mean, they just make you feel at ease.
Yeah.
You know, really.
And you've had reliable.
Your locals.
Reliable help.
Yeah.
Which helps.
And people were just, they're ready to help us.
Yeah. You know,
they wanted to go. So.
So what were some of the changes you guys made? Kind of looking back, you know, once you took it over about a few years in, I'm sure you're going, well, this doesn't work for me or something. You know, what were some of the changes you guys made to the bar?
Boy, that makes you think, don't it?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I know, just little things, I think it is, you know.
Just like little, the flow of the bar?
Yeah. Well, I guess if you want to look at it that way, it's like Red never had anything in the bar. I mean, he had like 3 tables, but, you know, so we had to bring whatever we thought we could put in there. So like he had the back room. If anybody remembers the back room, there was absolutely nothing back there. So, you know, here we brought pool table and foosball table, whatever, you know, just something for people to do that mm-hmm. way. So that, I guess that's a change if you're that way.
And yeah, I mean, food, you've got snacks.
Yep.
And,
yep. We got appetizers and pizzas. We had the lottery. We got the lottery in right away too.
They come in right away.
Yep. Cause that was right when it came out. The lottery did.
What do you think put you guys on the map? Cause there's a lot of people that drive to Breda to come to Reds. What do you guys think it is?
I think I know.
Our charming personality.
Right? You know what?
That
I
too.
I think you nailed it right there. No. It's you guys. I honestly think it is.
No. Inexpensive prices.
It's the back bar. They all come to see the back bar.
Yeah. It is not.
It's a homey feeling.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Homey feeling. See,
You know, every time we walked in there, we just feel comfortable.
You feel welcome. Well,
We talk to you. We'll talk to you or whatever. Mm-hmm.
We feel welcome. You know. And I mean, that leads me to how many life events have been at that bar? I mean, we've been involved in several and. Our friend's wedding reception. I had my big birthday there. Mm-hmm. How many of life events?
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
I couldn't even count how many people met there, got married, come back and,
funerals.
Yeah.
We've had funerals there.
Have you?
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
A few Irish wakes have been there, I'm sure, and all of that. So that's got to make you feel good, though, when people
that they want to
associate your bar that you bought at the age of 19 and 26 and go, man, that's the place I will always remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've been around for your parents' anniversary parties and birthdays and
a recent wedding. A friend of ours.
Yes. Mentioned that.
Stacy and Natalie got married and the first place they went to.
Yeah.
You were the backup plan too, by the way. they couldn't get married on the bike trail. It was that. I mean, talk about that because I mean, you've had friends that have been there for decades.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
decades.
Yeah.
That seems weird.
I know.
It is. It's true. You know, and the funny part is you're seeing your friends' kids grow up. And they're old enough to drink. And now it's like their kids are starting to grow up.
Yes.
It's like, holy rats.
I know. I'll never forget bringing my kids in as adults.
I think I threw some water in their face, you know, one time.
Audrey?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, hell, you've done that to me.
Was that a shark shot?
Yep.
Shark week.
Shark week.
I fell for that in my 40s. That should tell you something right there. When you walk in, I mean, you literally know almost everybody walking through the door.
Pretty much. I can get the drink of what they serve.
You do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's about,
You know, it's a lot more than I do, actually.
That's why I feel like the whole bar is just iconic. And you guys didn't plan it that way, apparently.
No.
It just sort of happened that way. Mm-hmm. So. But there's something special about the place that just everybody loves. And that's why remind me what year this was, the fire.
Fire was
2013.
2013. August. Okay, so the radio station was just getting our website going and our online news and things like that. And I hate to put this on your guys' back, but you guys put us on the map as far as our website and mobile app. Because when the fire happened, we said, you know, we put out, there's a bulletin. There's a fire in downtown Breda. And then there's a fire at Reds. And that's when our likes and shares just absolutely exploded.
Wow.
That's because crazy. Everybody was stunned and shocked and wanted to share the information with everybody and going, oh my God, this bar you've grown up with that you've done all these things at, it's burning. I do want to take you back to that day tell me when the first time you heard about it was on fire and where were you, Bruce? Let's start with you.
I was ready to go to work.
And, working at Pepsi then?
At Pepsi. My neighbor, or not my neighbor, but the neighbor behind the bar, the guy right behind the bar, kept beating on the door. And I was dressed, thank God. And he's like, hey, the bar's burning. I'm like,
so this is like first thing in the morning.
It's 5:30.
5:30 in the morning. Yeah. Okay.
And I said, no, it's not. We just left there because me and Russ were there. And We did had a catering job or something that night before.
We did something. I don't know. We were even down in the basement.
Yeah.
And we did not smell
smoke. We had Jacobson or something that day.
We did not smell smoke or nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
Down in the basement. And
so I, of course, ran up there and sure shit, here it's rolling out of that back vent back there. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know, kicked the door down well, the firemen were there by that time. They were chopping, and I'm like, I got a key, you know. Opened up the door and went, oh, my God, can't believe this. You know, I couldn't absolutely see nothing in there. Yeah, and you was were gone.
Just smoke that you saw? Or?
Oh, the fire and smoke. Right. Yeah, it was just packed full of smoke.
And then relit itself once oxygen got back in there.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the start of the fire? Was it determined?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Okay. Right in between the bar and the kitchen, there was electrical wire.
Gotcha.
Where that whole floor burned out. They seen where somehow it started. We really don't know how it got started either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nor do they. So,
yeah. So where were you? You said you guys were at the bar that night. So how did you find out?
So I got out of there pretty early the night before. It was about midnight. And so I had to take a friend to the airport in Omaha. About, I think we left at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. So he had to fly out early, and I'm in the Omaha airport, and all of a sudden I get a phone call from Bruce. He's like, where are you? It was my number, my home number. He's at my house looking for me.
Oh.
Because apparently they couldn't find me at home, mm-hmm. and they thought maybe I was even in the bar, you know, when it burned, you know. Oh, but yeah, he calls me from my home phone and says, where are you? Now I was like, I'm on my way back from the airport. And he's like, oh, the bar's burning. And so I'm like, what?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, it's been 12, 13 years, and I'm still like living with you guys in this story. It's like, oh my God, tell me what.
Yeah.
You
know? I just flew back, and all I hear is you on the radio saying, yeah, there's flames coming out the window.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Trucks there. And I'm like, oh, I was flying. Okay. I thought, well, if I get pulled over, they'll know why. Yeah. You know, I was going around vehicles. Didn't take me too long to get home.
So what, I mean, the result of it, how long was it before you knew it was kind of a total loss?
Oh, shortly.
Yeah.
Was it? Shortly after, once I got it out.
Because we were like, oh, it's, you know, it's smoke. And it was like, well, everybody's kind of hoping for the best or whatever. And then it was like,
That's what happens. Oh, you start out and you're hoping for the best always. And
it's worst case scenario.
Yeah, it gets worse and worse.
I pulled up and they wouldn't even let me in.
Yeah.
I wanted to go in and check it out and they wouldn't let me in, and it was hot, really hot. They had the fans sucking it out, and it was really warm in there.
So what'd you guys do for the rest of that day?
Sat there and cried.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel that.
My kids were bawling.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they grew up there, so they were bawling.
I'll bet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's devastating. Like, everything you worked for is gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
And our worst fear was like, at that time, we couldn't see, like, right away, of course. We couldn't see how bad, like, the back bar and all that. Because, you know, that's what, to me, what everybody comes to see, because it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just, that was tough.
But I know, like, the firemen, they said, don't hit the back bar with the water, you know. But
really? Even they knew?
Oh, wow. They even said that the other day. And they said,
really?
They just didn't hit the back bar, you know. But somehow, it didn't start on fire.
Yeah.
I think all the years of the Camels, Winstons, Marlboros, I think that preserved it. I really do.
It was used to the smoke.
It burned on fire. Yeah. It blistered a little bit with the heat, but it did not start.
I
couldn't
crazy?
Believe it.
How long was it before you guys could get back in the building?
Oh,
a couple days?
No, we got in there later on that day. Yeah. We went in there.
Okay.
Once they got the fire under control, whatever, then they. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going in. I don't give a shit what you guys say. Mm-hmm. And I was
a
fireman. Of course, I was a fireman at that time. So I'm like, I'm going in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was devastating, I guess the word is.
At that point, you're just like, let's take some time and figure this out. Or was there?
I remember walking through the water, slosh, 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 in the back room, and then looking up in front. And it's like, oh, wow. Everything's black.
Yeah.
Black. Everything. Just really black.
What do you do at that point?
We didn't know what to do.
No.
I mean, we're like every every sign was gone.
Melted.
You know, they're melted. The TVs were gone. I mean, they're melted. And it's like, how hot do you think it really got in here, you know? Mm-hmm. And the firemen, like, I don't know, they figured 1,400 or something. Oh, yeah. It melted every goddamn sign in there, you know, mm-hmm. melted them. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, you had booths and things like that that were in there. But the back bar. So talk about that. I mean, the firemen were aware of it. Oh, they had to. They didn't want to ruin that or things like mm-hmm. that. But how long did it take before you guys decided you wanted to rebuild?
It took us a little bit.
I bet.
Oh, yeah. It was probably months.
Yeah, months.
But you know, you have to wait for the dumb insurance.
Oh yeah, talk about that but insurance.
After that, we're like still scratching our head. It was like, you know, the place is a freaking disaster.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
So what do you do? You know, we didn't know what to do.
We're a little pack of rats too. I mean, we had a ton of stuff back there, you know, in there. You know, so it's like, where do we start?
I'll bet. Uh-huh.
I think first I started drilling holes in the floor, back room floor, just to save the floor, baby.
Well, we did that right away. Yeah.
That was the first thing we did.
Yeah.
We drilled. So why did you do that?
Because there was water in the... On the, you know, from from the fire. So there's about yay much water in the back room. So like, told Russ, I'm like, we need to get this water out of it. Cause that floor was pretty dang nice. Yeah. Oh,
so we
poked a hole in there. And
no, the first thing I did was went downstairs, down the basement to see if I was going to hit anything electric.
Good call.
Yeah. Well, good call.
Everything was shut off anyway. It burnt. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like, I remember that so good.
But after that, like, we drilled that hole and let the water drain. I think we came in the next day and scoop shovel and broom and pushed all the stuff up into the front room. And then we cleaned that floor up like we do every day of the week. And that's why it looks like it does yet today, because we saved that from warping, you know.
But you didn't know at that point that you were going to rebuild.
No, we had no idea. But we didn't want to ruin that floor, that's, you know.
So you just did what you knew how to do. You just got to work and did your chores.
Yep, basically. Yeah.
So how long did it take for you guys to wrap your head around everything and say, yeah, you know what, this is worth continuing? Because, I mean, you could have taken insurance money and
actually we just started cleaning up, because I knew we had to start cleaning it sometime. So we were just starting cleaning up, and I don't think we really decided until later.
Yeah. Well, when everybody came in and helped us, I mean, that was...
Yeah.
That was like really heartfelt, I guess you want to call it, because that was a tough day.
We had more help than we needed, you know, so we told some of them to go home, you know, because it was getting to be too much help, and everybody was just volunteering and wanted to help and get us going again.
We're like, doesn't that tell you something, though?
It did.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys made an impact on their lives. They wanted to help you guys out.
Yeah.
So
on a lighter note, we haven't said Reds for how long, and I may need to get a drink. You did.
So when Reds what's crazy is that almost immediately came out, Chad McDermott's same song came out right there about Reds, and we got requests at the radio station to play it the bar and stuff. And everybody was just heartbroken about it. So that had to, I mean, did you guys even know that was going on?
No. He didn't tell us. He just all of a sudden put it out there.
It was to the Cheers theme song.
Yeah.
We had a beach party every year. And so that weekend that it burned, we had the beach party down at the shelter house. Mm-hmm. And so we had a big party down there.
Oh, so you had one even though there was no bar.
Right. So we had it down there, and then Chad McDermott's band played down there. And then I think we salvaged a couple t-shirts or something, or coats or something, and we washed them up and we sold them and tried to make money to rebuild, you know?
Yeah.
And we had a big turnout for that down there.
That's when he put that song out.
Yeah. That's when the song,
we had no idea. So what the heck is he made us go up front when he first sang it to us, and everybody else were like, oh shit.
And I'd be saying, oh shit.
They made a hammer, you know, out of cardboard and everything. Yeah. And, you know, it was really
cool. And you guys love to be the center of attention. So I'm sure you love it.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah. Right.
That's it.
So how long did it, well, first of all, Phil the Duck.
I was thinking the same thing. Are you going to ask about Phil the Duck?
Still up on the wall.
Yeah.
So, but the back bar too. How long did it take to get that back?
Oh boy. We
restored.
We soda blasted.
You guys did it all yourself?
We soda blasted it. We had a guy who soda blasted it.
The whole building.
Yeah. Everything.
The walls.
Really?
Everything. The rafters, everything. And then had him soda blast the back bar and then.
We took it
down. We took it down. We took it bar.
So we had, we had all the, so the north bar, that one burned completely up pretty much, you know? So we took the other one out and then there was this wide open space and that's when he came in and blasted everything. Then we took the bar down, the back bar down. We took it completely down. Had no dang clue how to get it out of there, take it down. That was
because the mirrors were broke already, you know, with
the fire burn, everything busted. They got so hot, it busted all the mirrors in there.
That back bar is huge.
Yeah.
And heavy.
And couldn't even get it out the door.
My God, it was heavy.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we took it down to pieces. So that was interesting because I had no idea how to take it down because, I mean, it's been there over 100 years in that same spot because it got brought in there in 1913, they tell us. So, so we just like, well, got the saws out and cut the screws off and we start taking it down piece by piece. That's all we could do.
And just trusting you know how to put it back together.
Correct. Set it down on the floor and then he was still soda blasting at the time and he come back and blasted it.
Yep.
Once you realized that could be salvaged, was that the turning point going, hey, we can rebuild this?
I think we were already there when we did that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
probably.
Was there any turning point that said, yeah, let's do this. Let's rebuild.
No.
Not really?
No. We just started cleaning.
Once we started cleaning up and I think we both just realized maybe, you know, maybe we can get this fixed up again.
Mm-hmm. You guys did all the work yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you didn't go out and hire somebody else to do it or things like that. That would have been the easy thing to do, but.
We had great help helping us all the time.
Yeah.
We had
people come in and helped us. Yeah.
We had certain nights that them guys would come in.
Yep.
And they'd like, hey, we're going to designate, I think it was Thursday night, wasn't it?
Yeah, Thursday night. Every Thursday night, there was like a group of four or five guys that would come in and help us for like 3 hours.
Wow.
Yep. And so they were there every week.
Every week.
So we got a lot of stuff done then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember your dad telling me, he goes, if they'd have just hired it out, they could have had it done.
Oh my God. That's all we heard.
Yeah.
From everybody.
Yeah.
Just fix the damn thing up. You know?
Yeah.
We are, but
yeah,
we didn't get insurance money. So we're like kind of squeaky tight about that because like we didn't get nothing.
Well, yeah, I was really? 19 when we got this insurance and I just got bare minimum insurance and just renewed it every year and never thought nothing of it.
19. Yeah. When you sign a contract and you hadn't kind of revisited that since.
Yeah. No.
Wow.
No.
So the back bar gets restored and Phil the Duck survives.
Yeah. Well, so, I tried to throw Phil the Duck away, but it didn't happen. Yeah. Yeah. The fire.
Phil the Duck couldn't go away.
He can tell the story.
The fire inspector was yelled at me when I threw it away. And I'm like, what did I do wrong?
Really? Goes, that fire inspector yelled at you.
Yeah.
So he helped us clean up.
Yeah. He helped us clean. So I pulled it out of the dumpster and give it to him. I said, here, this is yours then. And so he took it to a couple taxidermists, tried to get it fixed. And they said, you can't fix burnt feathers. So he had it bring it to a body shop, had it clear coated about 100 times, he said, and then he brought it back.
When we opened.
Yeah, he brought it back. And I'm like.
And we had hang it back in the same spot it was.
Yep.
I like, have newfound respect for Phil the Duck.
I shot that duck out of the farm, you know, many years ago, and I had it done, you know, and I thought, well, we'll bring it in. What the heck?
So, yeah. So you were the one who originally killed it.
Yep.
So you saved it later on. It's come full circle.
Yep.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Any other things that got saved that were like that? The cash register behind the bar.
No, that ain't it.
That ain't the original one. No.
Okay. Isn't it?
No.
I thought it was.
No.
Where'd that one come from?
Well, so the one from the fire that Budweiser sign on top melted right down on the old one. So, you know, trying to put that fire out because that, you know, that was actually on fire. And so they had to squirt the water on it because, you know, it was on fire. So once they did that, it just gummed up that other cash register no end. I mean, there's no saving it.
Yeah, gotcha.
I mean, it looked good, but it didn't. There's no way it's functional. So where we come across the other one is this crazy story too. Kids and I were in Montana, Colorado, vacationing, and we walked into this place, and at the end of the bar here, this cash register sat. You know, so I said, "Hey," I said, "that one's almost just exactly like our old one. Would you sell it?" You know, and the guy's like, "No, we're trying to sell the place. We're going to put it back on the bar." Blah blah blah. You know, I'm like, "Well, here's my number. Give me your number." And I don't know. Months went by, I think, after that, and finally, he just like,
"Well, you came back," and I said, "Yeah." You asked me about it, yeah. And I said, "Go back there and get it."
Yeah. You went back there. Well, he wouldn't sell the damn thing, you know.
Get back in your truck, drive 12 hours back there. Yeah.
We're gonna need that.
Yeah. So it was kind of like that whole deal, and then finally, a couple months later, after you know we seen it, he called and he's like, "Hey, I'll sell that cash register to you. You still want it or whatever?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, So Abby and I, my daughter, we drove out there. We went and picked the dang thing up. There it is.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
That is. And you guys, it took about a year, did it, to rebuild the bar?
Exactly a year.
Exactly a year?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people were really excited to get back into Reds.
That's all I heard is,
we all talked about it.
When is it going to be finished?
We had some weddings that were supposed to be in there, and they just kind of sat up front or inside around some,
outside.
Took pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was such an epic relaunch of the bar.
Yeah.
It's just crazy that how it all came together. You guys made improvements that you wanted to make, I'm sure.
I remember when after it burnt, we had everything, you know, all paneled up and everything and locked up. There's beer cans out in front on the step.
I think I remember that. Day, yeah.
It was just like, you know, it was wild, you know.
I think a bunch of them sat over there that next
people
night.
People sat there and just drank.
Remember that.
Yeah. Buy it. Yeah. It was.
How long did people contact you about that fire?
Oh, boy.
It had to be like the whole year until you reopened.
I don't even.
It's like, oh, my God, I just heard.
Yeah,
it was kind of nice. So the Legion opened up for, you know, during that when the fire happened, they opened up every night. And so they kind of hired our help and hired me. And, you know, we went down there and worked at night too. So it was kind of nice.
Kind of like a breed of folks hanging together.
Yeah. Yep. So our regulars could still see us, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's more than just breed of folks that go to Reds.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you guys are a destination point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How do you describe that?
Oh, I have an actual question. What is the weirdest thing that's happened at Reds?
Oh, my. Oh, my God.
What is the funniest or weirdest thing?
Yes, we always say everybody has a Red story.
Yes.
Probably when I was first opened the bar and had some older lady get up and start dancing and ended up taking her shirt off. And here I am, first couple of weeks of bartending.
And you're 19.
Life. Yeah.
And you're like, and what do I do?
What do I do? Oh, my God.
Lady, can you get off the bar, please?
I
don't know.
I didn't know what to do. I had no idea.
And I wasn't there that night. No. God.
So if you were to say, what's the wildest night you've had there?
The wildest
night? I think John asked you about earlier about...
you guys have hosted bike bashes. That was probably
the Ragbri one thing where they decided to...
Naked beer slides.
Make their own little slide and didn't tell nobody about it and just did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we were selling gallons of beer, you know, tap beer. And all of a sudden, they start buying this. I'm like, wow, that was a great idea that we got these gallon jugs selling gallons of beer, you know, for these guys. They were just going left and right. Well, and then you look, and they start pouring them out on the floor. And I'm like, what are they doing? Yeah.
You know, and they all just put their hand in the air, and all of a sudden, glug, 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 glug. Yep. I'm like, what are they doing? They're dumping beer on the floor, Russ.
All of a sudden, you see somebody slide by. Well, that's what they're doing.
Did you make a lot of money that night?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
The place was packed.
Yeah, I'm sure
I remember
we did.
Where the booths were, it was just like a balcony. You know, people were standing all the way up to the ceiling. You know, it was crazy.
That was wild. And we could not control it.
No.
Oh, I'll bet.
No. No. But everybody kind of behaved themselves.
Oh, they all did.
Oh, yeah.
There was no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we talked earlier and we were sitting out, you know, having a cocktail before this podcast. And like, yeah, you guys don't have a lot of issues with like fights and things like that.
No.
The funniest part about that, I think, is that beer slide thing is, you know, that whole thing with the cops, they're all like, naked beer slide was bad, bad, bad. So they which it is, you know, but so the cops came in after it was all over with, because they couldn't get past the front door, basically like a foot. And they're like, we heard there's a beer slide here. And we're like, there ain't no beer slide. You can see there's nothing going on here.
I don't see one. Do you see one? Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we're just checking. I'm like, oof.
They even went down to Zeke's and tried to see if there's one down there.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
So yeah, all the bike bashes and things like that. So that Ragbri seems to be the king of the crazy.
Of the crazy.
Yeah, I think we put Breida on the map.
I bet you did.
That one did.
I doubt that at all. But yeah, we've seen that place packed wall to wall.
Oh yeah.
How do you even work a room like that?
I bet you get used to it.
You do.
I mean,
yeah.
You guys have been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
They just come in, you know, I mean, not all at once. So you're waiting on them and not thinking nothing about it.
Doing the best you can.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, then you can't get out from behind the bar, and they're really good about that. They can come up to the bar, you know, because they know we can't get out. So much we can't get out. So they come up and serve them, you know, they'll come up instead of us waiting on them. They'll come up. And it works out really well.
So what's your favorite memory? In the time that you've had, I'm going to ask each of you.
Oh. I mean, it's only 38 years. Come on.
Yeah, it is.
You got to know this right off the top of your head.
I don't even know what it'd be.
It was probably Ragbri, you know.
Okay.
That was best.
Yeah. I mean,
it was a good time.
Yeah.
And then they had a reunion ride, you know, after that, when Ragbri went through Breida again. And, well, Team Plunger, they stole our plungers at the original Ragbri, our first
out
Ragbri.
Of the bathroom.
Of course they
bathroom.
Did.
Of course they weren't they even did. Ours. They were old Reds, you know, plungers. So those were like old. And nasty. Nasty. And they drank out of them.
Oh, dang.
They said they swished them around in the stool a little bit to wash them off.
Oh, good.
Okay, Lord. We might have to edit that out.
That'd probably be a good idea.
Wow.
Nope, no. That's staying in.
Yeah, no.
They did. So then when they came back with this.
We'll put an explicit thing on the wall.
Please do.
Yeah.
So when they came back, you know, the next Ragbri, they brought these plungers.
Oh.
And they handed
on a plaque.
On a plaque.
They had one on a plaque for us.
Yeah, so we had to stand up on the bar and, you know, we drank out of a plunger.
We still got that picture. I bet we do somewhere.
Yeah.
Russ and I had to get on the bar, and the place is absolutely packed, and them guys are screaming.
Okay. Yeah. And so we had to drink out of a
plunger. We had a new plunger, though.
Okay. Yeah, they're new ones.
Okay. Yeah,
they're all new ones.
Russ and I drank out of them. Okay. We have new ones.
All new ones.
Yeah.
I think that original one went on the plaque, though.
It did. I think it was, yeah.
Do you guys have a lot of pictures from some of the craziest that just do you?
I used to take a lot of pictures.
Oh, yeah. I have pictures.
Yeah. But I think a lot of them got burned up, though. Mm-hmm. But
they did.
I still have a few pictures left.
Yeah. I can say for us recently, if it happens after like 7 o'clock at night, we're out. I mean, because
that's when the good stuff happens.
That's why you'll never have a picture of us doing things like that there. So,
I think we probably did. We did beat in the past.
The flaming Statue of Liberty shot that I did there was pretty epic. You hosted Dina's 31st birthday party.
Actually did. My late husband threw me a 31st birthday party there.
Mm-hmm. And why was it 31st?
Because he did not throw me a 30th birthday party. And I may have mentioned it to him. And so I was like a month out of having a baby. And he decided that was the time to have a 31st birthday party for me. So, but I have pictures. I loved it.
That's great. It's a red story.
It is a red story.
Hmm. So what going forward? What's the future for you guys? You're 38 years into this.
Yep.
Any end in sight?
So yeah, Reds has been Reds for 70 years now.
Yeah.
You think about it that way. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to say, what happens at Reds stays at rest. Oh, wait. We've already told the stories.
Yeah. We didn't tell all of them. There's a lot that happened.
You got to come in to hear the other stories. But yeah, I mean, seriously, what about the future for you, both you guys? Nothing?
I don't know. We never really talked about it.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to be 65 here shortly, so.
Retirement.
Probably.
Well, we're getting there. Oh, yeah. We don't want to take you guys with us, though. We want you guys to be there for us.
Getting tired.
Yeah. Well, you're still working at Pepsi.
Yeah.
Bruce.
Yeah.
And going to continue that.
For a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Russ, this has been your life since you were 19 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. No plans on changing any of it.
I was going to say, you've gained so many friends.
Oh my God.
I mean,
I know a lot of people.
Yeah. And your friends, we've kind of come to know too, and mm-hmm. we've been down there and met them. And we, of course, the biking community is huge.
Oh yeah. The soft trail that goes right by, you know, through Brita.
Yeah.
It's a halfway mark between Swan Lake and Lakeview.
Guys were always the meeting point for everybody from Lakeview, everybody from Carroll. They all meet in Reds.
Especially on Thursday nights, taco night.
Oh, yeah. Funny story. Mm-hmm. John and I decided to go up to, I think we're in Mankato. We decided to bike the trails up there. And we get in our bikes and we bike, you know, about 6 miles. And we're like, where's the bars? We're like, back home, the bars are there.
About every 5-6 miles we're out there.
We had to come back home.
So think back to 19-year-old Russ buying that bar. Did you ever think that it would be at this point?
No. I thought, okay, maybe till 30 I'll be out of here then, you know, or something.
Yeah.
But 30 came and gone. 40 came and gone.
I was going to say.
50 came and gone.
Yeah.
It's like, now I'm still here.
By the way.
Bruce?
Yeah.
26 when you bought it?
Yeah. I had no idea either. It's like, well, we're just going to wing it, I guess. And I didn't have no idea how long we'd be there either, you know.
No idea. What a great legacy for both of you.
Yeah.
In the community and everything you've done for the community. Again, I keep going back to.
It's all synonymous with Brita.
The life events that you've held there, I think is amazing.
Street dances and stuff like that.
Anniversaries, weddings, birthdays, the countless. What a great legacy.
Yeah.
I think we might need a second podcast just to tell the stories we can't tell on the first one.
Yes, sometime. Let's do that.
So I think. We are going to wrap it up.
Yes.
God, thank God for Breds.
Thank God
for you guys, because it's been the most iconic place around this area that we can think of.
Yeah. We look forward to going down there all the time.
Yeah. Still look forward to it every single time we walk in that door. So we're going down to see Russ and Bruce.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers to Russ.
Hey.
Man.
Cheers.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, guys, for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Making your way in a small town bar, it takes a lot of work. Year after year, whiskey and beer, and serving it to jerks. Isn't it nice every now and then to go where good times never end? Let's head to Red's, home of the hoop, home of the hoop, where you're always in the loop. You wanna go where you can see Bruce's toothy smile. You wanna go where everything he wears in style. Some dice, a pool for a bet. Now and then your best girlfriend will get her t-shirt wet. Isn't it nice when you feel beat? Get out the house into Main Street. Let's head to Red's, home of the style. Beach parties and graduates and surprise birthday cakes. New Year's Eve tuxedo tops and Russ's sexy legs. Woo, Russ!
Isn't it nice every now and then to go where everyone's a friend? Let's head to Red's, home of the Who. Home of the Who. Land you're always in the loop. You wanna go where you can see Bruce's toothy smile. You wanna go where everything you wear's in style.
Everybody, Neil!